Welcome to ChatGPT Curious, a podcast for people who are, well, curious about ChatGPT. I'm your host, Dr. Shante Cofield, also known as the Maestro, and I created this show to explore what ChatGPT actually is.
Really, though, are the files in the computer?
How to use it, and what it might mean for how we think, work, create, and move through life. Whether you're skeptical, intrigued, or already experimenting, you're in the right place. All that I ask is that you stay curious. All right, let's get into it. Hello, 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 my curious people, and welcome to episode 17 of ChatGPT Curious. I'm your grateful host, the Maestro, and today we're talking about whether or not ChatGPT will get Old Navy'd. Now, that is a super, I'm going to say, niche episode title, but it will make sense once we get into the full episode. I'm super fucking stoked to chat about this. I did what I'm going to call big learning and big dot connecting for this. That almost sounds like I was cursing. Big dot connecting. I was like saying big fucking connecting. No. Big learning and big connecting of the dots for this episode. And it's actually cool to me because it brings in the business, you know, and marketing strategy positioning side of things, which is, you know, another thing that I'm interested in. And if you listen to my other podcast, Maestro on the Mic, you get that side of things. So I'm going to say it since we're talking about business. Greed ain't it. Extractive capitalism ain't fucking it. Capitalism doesn't work. I said it. It objectively does not work. That's why every so often bailouts are needed. Doesn't fucking work. But that is a rant for another day. Coming back to this topic, today's topic, this concept of ChatGPT getting Old Navy'd and whether or not that could actually happen, that has to do with market position. And that is why we are diving into it and what we are diving into today. So in full transparency, this episode is largely my interpretation and extrapolation of a recent Prof. G. Markets episode that I absolutely loved. Shout out to my girl Pam. She put me onto that podcast and I fucking love it. Scott Galloway has like a bunch of podcasts. Apparently it was like very weird to be like, what am I subscribing to find? Just all I like is one that he does with Ed Elson or something like that. But I love it. And they're so prolific with content creation. I watch it. I don't really listen to it. I watch it on the YouTube because I'm old. And I watch it while I'm downstairs lifting. But I fucking love it. But the episode I'm talking about is called, titled, How China's AI Efficiency Could Gut the U.S. Economy. Very inflammatory, slightly inflammatory title, but very good episode. I will link it in the show notes. Don't forget, folks, I also have an entire page on my ChatGPT Curious website that is entirely devoted to the helpful shit, or at least in my opinion helpful, that I read and that I watch. It's called Curious Finds. I will link that page as well. It literally has like a full-ass, long-ass list on there of things. I have to figure out how to make it searchable because it is embedded. It's like a whole thing that I put together. It's not actually, like, it doesn't actually live on the website. This is neither here nor there. Either way, the page is dope. Go check it out. But one thing that I do want to note as well before we jump in, you know, as it relates to all of this, is that I named this podcast ChatGPT Curious for two reasons. All right. Number one, I went with ChatGPT because that's a household name and it's what people will be searching. You know, I don't limit myself to just talking about ChatGPT. I talk about AI in general. I don't talk necessarily about the other LLMs because I don't use them, at least not yet. Like I don't use Claude, but I don't exclude it from, you know, what I may use at some point and talk about. But I titled it ChatGPT because I know that when folks go to search for things, they're going to type in ChatGPT. It's the household name. It's first to market. It's the biggest player. So that's why I chose that side of things. Number two, the second reason is the word curious. And to me, it's at the heart of like all good things. And I want to learn, as I'm saying that, I'm like, but it killed the cat. So that's not a good thing. But either way, I want to learn and ask questions. To me, it's not about being bullish about or being bullish on ChatGPT. It's not like you have to use it, it's gonna be the best and it's always gonna work and like I love it so much. Y'all know this. I just have a curiosity about it. And to that end, being curious can lead to being against it. And I'm not mad about that. Right? To me, I've said it before, the folks who understand things the best are probably the ones who are the most well positioned to be critical of it. Because you're like, I understand it, I use it, I'm in it. It affects me. All right? I have things something to say about it. And that is, you know, what you may gather from this episode, and whether or not ChatGPT will get Old Navy. So what the fuck am I talking about when I say that? Right? Will ChatGPT get Old Navy? What does that mean? So in the YouTube, the podcast episode that I linked earlier, one of the hosts, main host, Scott Galloway, he tells a story from early in his career when his strategy firm, side note, he was 26 and his first client with the strategy firm was The Gap. And I was like, are we going to talk about that? Like, what? Who the fuck are you? What? But either way, early in his career, strategy firm that he owned, they were working with The Gap. And after doing market research, they learned that there was a rapidly growing demographic at the time, which was single mothers. And moms, being the fucking superheroes that moms are, God bless you if you're a mom, they wanted their kids to be able to dress in a way that made them feel good about themselves, despite the fact that these single moms, and single moms in general, or on average, don't have as much money. So they positioned Old Navy as 80% of The Gap for 50% of the price. And that shit took Old Navy to $1 billion faster than any other retailer in history. Mom, women be making the world fucking go round. But as which the business side of it, which is what I'm focusing on for this episode, we see the same formula with companies like Southwest, right? Although they do be fucking up with that bag change policy. I don't even fly Southwest. I don't like it, but it's true. We see kind of you get them 80% of the experience and the quality, whatever, 90%, because you're not crashing, right? You're just not quite as nice as other airlines, but it costs less. Same for IKEA, all right? So the question for this episode is, will someone come in and do to ChatGPT, aka OpenAI, what Old Navy did to Gap? Worth noting, my friends, and maybe you already know this, the same company owns both The Gap and Old Navy. All right, same fucking company. But we're going to come back to that point later. So in the podcast episode, Scott argues that China is positioned to do this, right? China is positioned to Old Navy ChatGPT, to Old Navy AI in general, US AI. I'm going to put it all together. ChatGPT is huge and expensive, and it's only getting bigger. Meanwhile, China is building these leaner, cheaper, and more efficient models. The main players, if you like dive into this or you're just listening to it at all, are going to be Alibaba's LLM, which is Qwen, and DeepSeek's model, which is called DeepSeek. Same name. And yes, Alibaba, that is the same online shopping company that you may have heard of. Basically, they realized that commerce required massive cloud infrastructure, so they built Alibaba Cloud, and the rest is history. Right? But worth noting, I cannot speak to how quote-unquote good these models are, right? Especially from an average user perspective. Benchmarks mean nothing to me. So even if they put them out, I'd be like, I don't really fucking understand how does that relate to me. But because I don't use them. Right? But per the podcast episode, Scott's podcast episode, which I do, you know, put a fair amount of weight behind it, just because things are vetted and they have like a whole, you know, research crew and editors and such. But, you know, still, yes, I know things could be wrong. But either way, from that episode, as for that episode, Alibaba's Qwen cut GPU usage by 82%. That's insane. By 82%. DeepSeek's models cost 10 times less per million tokens compared to GPT-5. That's insanity. And we know this. When DeepSeek first hit the market, that was really the tidal wave that it came with, was like, this is cheaper and smaller. Like, look at it. And it's doing the same thing, supposedly. So suddenly we're looking at 80 to 90% of the quality for 10% of the cost. Hello, Old Navy. Again, I cannot personally speak to the quality. I don't use it. But I do have a good friend, shout out to you, Mads, whose fiance is in AI. And he said that it's nuanced and they're pretty good, but still don't come close to the commercial models. So I very much value what he has to say. I will add my own two pennies in that we know that it's just a matter of time until they're as good, if not better, especially with all the fuckery that's going on with our goddamn fucking government, right? We kicking our immigrants out. Those are the people that are making this shit. Let's be honest about it. So it is just a matter of time until, you know, these models are as good, if not better, right? Communism and authoritarianism are not great for individual rights and liberties, but they are great for getting shit done, as is evidenced by China's EV progress. So before I give you my two pennies on what I think could happen, right, taking all this into consideration, I want to run through a mental model that Scott introduced in the episode that is, in my opinion, a phenomenal way of conceptualizing economics. He credits a man named Bruce Buchanan. I'm going to say it, actually. Do we remember Baywatch? No? Okay. He credits Bruce Buchanan, and he is a Stern School of Business economist, and he credits him with teaching him this. So the model is three lines. Picture this in your head, my friend. Three lines. They're stacked on top of each other. The top line is perceived value. The middle line is price. And the bottom line is cost. Okay, so top line is perceived value, middle line is price, bottom line is cost. Companies can make money by doing one of two things. They can push the cost line, that's the bottom line, down. In doing this, right, they pass the savings on to the consumer or the customer, which then lowers the middle line, which is the price. This creates a gap or a bigger space between the price that you're charging and that top line, which is the perceived value, right? The middle line and the top line, that there's a bigger space in between them now. That gets more, ultimately gets more people buying the thing because they're like, holy shit, this thing has a good perceived value. It costs less. I'm getting a deal. Sign me up. And the company makes more money. This is what China in general does, right? Scott argues that like this is their like general approach, and they're like very good at doing this. The other option we have for making money is to push the perceived value line, right? That's the top line, up. And this is accomplished through things like branding, you know, merchandising, marketing, advertising strategy, those kinds of things. This is what the US does. Think companies like Apple, right? For what it's worth, when I was sitting and listening and talking back and forth to ChatGPT about this, I internalized and understood this, like the goal. If the goal is to make money and we're looking at this model, then one's goal would be to increase the distance between the price, the middle line, and the perceived value, the top line, without things becoming sketchy, right? So if we need something to fall back on, like, how do I understand what's going on? What am I trying to do? What are companies trying to do? They are trying to increase the distance between the middle line, price, and the top line, perceived value, without shit becoming sketchy. What does that mean? Imagine if a Lamborghini was listed for $5. You'd be like, what? That, right? That, there's no fucking way. In that scenario, you have stretched that space too much, right? The area, the space between the middle line of price and the top line of perceived value, it's too big, right? And so suddenly the perceived value, what happens? It plummets. People are like, it's got to be a fake. This has to be, I'm going to get scammed, or this is a fucking lemon. It's broken. Like, there's no fucking way, right? So we want to stretch that space within reason, right? So that but not so much that people get sketched out. So this is, you know, again, what the US does, which is more so of the push the top line up. Not sketch people out, though. Also, that is what the US does. But clearly, OpenAI is focused on raising the perceived value line. Right. Bigger is better, huge models, huge data centers, insane amounts of compute, funny money with circular deals, right? It's very much, we're just moving up that top line. China, on the other hand, seems to be focusing on lowering the bottom line, which is the cost line. And then ultimately, if they pass those savings on, they could lower that price line, and that would subsequently increase the space between that middle line and the top line, right? So my two pennies, friends. What do I think could happen? Notice I didn't say will happen, because I don't fucking know what's going to happen. But what do I think could happen? What's the possibility? First off, it's not happening tomorrow. It's just not. This shit takes time. It's not happening tomorrow. Second, it ain't going to be China. And I'm not Scott Galloway. I'm not Ed. I don't even know if I can name Elson. I'm not either of them. I am not nearly as versed or smart in those areas. I'm not. I'm not basing this on any sort of economic or political expertise, but rather I'm looking at what already is, how things already are, right? The best way to predict future behavior is looking at past behavior. And we can do that with the Chinese EV market. The Chinese EV market is popping. And you don't have to be a fucking economist to know this. If you're on Instagram or you're on TikTok and you happen to like go into like the cars section, you'll see it. It gets served to you. And people go over there and they're like, yo, look at this fucking car. The Chinese EV market is popping. And there's a company called BYD, that stands for Build Your Dream, that would do absolute fucking numbers in the U.S. market. But they're not allowed to. They're not allowed to be here. Tariffs, bitch. U.S. regulations. 100% tariffs on Chinese cars. 100% tariffs. What? And there are software and data security requirements that the U.S. imposes that the Chinese automakers, they don't meet, right? And these things fully exist to protect U.S. automakers and limit Chinese tech influence. That's why. It's whack. It's fucking whack. And I can get on my soapbox about people being like, you know, the value of competition and we need capitalism. Motherfucker, this is not how you encourage competition, by saying you can't play. What? Oh, what? So, no, it's not going to be the Chinese, right? U.S. is not going to allow that to happen. We already see it now that they don't allow it to happen. Additionally, OpenAI is simply too powerful, both economically and politically, for it to let Chinese old Navy happen, right? The U.S. government, the U.S. media, it is corporate. We know that. And OpenAI is a corporation that has big money and ultimately big pull. It's not going to let it happen. Right? It's not going to be like, oh, yeah, let every competitor come here. It's not going to fucking do that. It's not. Additionally, and point number two, OpenAI's money and the money in AI in U.S., United States, you know, AI in general, is literally like propping up or at least very heavily driving the economy. Very fucking heavily. The government is not just going to let that fail. It's not. Right? They're not going to be like, oh, someone else come in and take over. No. But because of that point and the fact that literally AI money is propping up the fucking economy, Scott talks about this in the episode as it's a good fucking play by China if they're able to pull it off. If they really want to cause some damage, that's how you're going to fucking do it. Right? You want to cause some disruption? There it is. All right, but what could possibly happen in the future would be an inside job. And by inside job, I mean a company inside of the U.S. that builds their own smaller, cheaper, but still 90% as good model. This whole thing feels very Roger Bannister to me. But for those of you who don't know, Roger Bannister was the first person to run a sub-4-minute mile. And then within a year, 23 other people had done it. To me, we see these smaller models coming out, and you know it's possible. Right. One of the things that has kept me bullish on AI in general is that it highlights how fucking smart humans are. Like if you go into like any kind of like the coder side of social media or anything like that, or if you just listen to these episodes and you see the math that is required to create this, like, holy shit, someone thought of this? Are you kidding me? Humans are so fucking smart, and they're fucking smart all over. I will say we need everybody. Right? We need immigrants. We need fucking everybody. But what I think could happen is it won't be China, but the reality that these cheaper, faster, I don't want to say faster, cheaper, smaller models are possible. We see that it's possible. And then someone else copies that and does that and rolls that out. But in the U.S., do they get gobbled up by these big, you know, behemoth companies? Maybe, especially if they're like, oh, the price is right. I don't fucking know. But the possibility, I think, is there. Worth noting, circling back to what I said earlier, or what I mentioned earlier, is the fact that Gap and Old Navy are owned by the same fucking parent company, Gap Inc. Gap has three companies Gap Inc. It has Banana Republic, Gap, and Old Navy. Like these three tiers, right? Banana Republic being the most expensive, Gap in that middle tier, and then Old Navy as the lowest tier. Gap Inc. made Old Navy in order to compete with Walmart and these lower priced retailers. Wow, can't speak. Retailers. Old Navy ultimately made Gap irrelevant. It trained people to expect basically, quote unquote, the same thing, but for a lower price. And we know this. We talk about business and marketing. It's like that middle option there. We want to be we don't want to be polarizing, but it's better to be polarized, right? Where you're on one side or the other. You have these three options and it's like, well, how different are they? How different is this third, you know, middle option? And that's exactly what happened with Gap. It's just like, oh, it is not different enough from Old Navy, and it's way more money, or, you know, relatively speaking, more money. So people were like, well, I'm not going to buy it. And so it basically made Gap irrelevant. All that to say, I don't think that it will be OpenAI that builds the old Navy. And like I was kind of alluding to earlier, like if another company comes in, builds it, that is inside of the United States, would OpenAI gobble it up? I think that if they did, they would close it down, gobble it up, and then shut it the fuck down. I don't think they would, you know, I don't think they're going to Old Navy themselves. For any of you smart cookies out there listening and thinking that perhaps OpenAI's other models, right, they have, because you can still go to the legacy models and go to ChatGPT 4, 4.0, or 4 mini. For any of you thinking that, well, doesn't that fill the space? Because in theory, they use less energy. No, it doesn't fill the space, because that would be more like Gap and Gap Outlet, right? It's not a whole brand new thing that is designed with this in mind, specifically with this infrastructure, right? What I am talking about with Old Navying something is creation through intentional design, not creation as a byproduct of obsolescence, right? Like where it's just like, here's some old shit, it costs less, use it, right? That's not it. So something that's worth thinking about, and clearly I'm excited about this episode. I like thinking about this stuff. I know it's all in theory, but it's fun for me. So something that's worth thinking about is what would actually drive a switch to a different model, right? Namely by the average consumer, you and me. Realistically, it would make more sense for companies to switch first because they're using it at scale. But, you know, there's red tape and subsidies and kickbacks and shit I don't know about. So I'm just going to think about the switch as it relates to you and me, the average user, right? What would cause us to switch to one of these cheaper models if they were as good? Right? They existed and they were as good. And we already know. You're listening to this and you're saying it. Cheaper, right? A significant price increase. That's why we would switch. So circling back to Scott's three-line model, or Bruce's model, whoever the fuck it was, right? Circling back to the three-line model. That middle line price, if that goes up, all right, and that's going to go up as a product of the bottom line cost going up. And we know these shits are fucking expensive, and OpenAI isn't making any money. So the cost is going up. That means the price has to go up. But that top line perceived value, that fucking stays where it is. Nothing's changing. That is not good. That is not good. Remember, we said if the goal is to make money, have more customers, then you want to increase the distance between the top line and the middle line, not shrink it. So right now, as it stands, $20 a month, OpenAI is sitting pretty. And that gap between perceived value and price, right, the top line and the middle line, is pretty huge. You're like, wow, I get all of this for $20? It's fucking amazing. I got my own robot for $20? I cannot say what number the price would need to go up to for folks to be like, no fucking way, this ain't worth it. Although we know people right now don't think it's worth it. Most people are using the free tier, but I can't say what it would need to go up to. But I can say with full certainty that $200 per month price tag for Pro, that's too rich for my blood. I'm not valuing that thing. So I know the number exists. What it actually ends up being, I can't say. All right, so that is one thing that could happen that would prompt a switch, right? A significant price increase. The other thing that could happen that would prompt a switch would be the top line, or the perceived value drops. And we can think of this as the Netflix effect, right? The novelty wears off, particularly as other players enter the market. That's really huge, right? You got to have other people doing the same thing. So, you know, Claude is there as well. And obviously there's Gemini, but they got to be proven to be as good. So the novelty wears off, other players have entered the market, and the quality of the output feels stagnant, or even worse, it decreases. So with Netflix, this makes sense, right? If the movies stay the same and you've seen them all, then you're like, this is not good. I need some fucking new shit, right? So we get novelty wearing off, because we got Hulu came on, and Peacock, and all these other things, and it's like, hey, you don't even give me any new movies or movies that I want. Not good. I do think that keeping things the same for a quality product can be okay for a very long time, as long as the price doesn't go up. So that's one of the issues with Netflix. There's a bunch of shit that stuff's on there that you're like, oh, whatever, I'll put it on in the background, it's fine. But the fucking price goes up. And then they're like, oh, and also we're gonna add ads. We're gonna add commercials. And you're like, wait, what? Before, it started off as whatever, $6, $9, and no late fees. Remember, actually, we used to get the DVD sent, and then there's none of that shit. It was just right on the TV. There's no late fees, obviously. It's amazing, super novel. All right. And you're willing to stay at this. You don't have to change the, give me more movies. Like, just keep it here. This is great. But they don't add new movies. They take movies away. And then they're raising the price. And you're like, and adding commercials. What? So the flip side is what I just said, is keeping things the same for a quality product can absolutely be okay for a very, very, very long time. As long as the price isn't going up. And the best example of this is, is Costco. Who doesn't love Costco? Right? Keeping the prices fixed, the margins are low, and the value, along with their values, yeah, both, are obvious. I'm a customer for life. I just went there yesterday to get food for the food pantry. We go there at least once a month for our own food. Right? This is, like I said earlier, I know that this episode, it got me excited because it brings together the other side of things that I do in this business side. And to me, it highlights that there is a better way to run a business. And if we're going about it from this extractive capitalism model and, you know, infinite growth and increasing, forever increasing shareholder value, that ain't fucking it. It's not it. And then we can see why people leave and why people stop using the things. It's very clear, right? The writing is on the wall. So to summarize all of this, do I think that ChatGPT will get Old Navy'd? I think it's possible, but it's not happening anytime soon. And I definitely don't see China as the one to do it. Do I hope it will happen? Abso-fucking-lutely. Abso-fucking-lutely. We don't need this shit to be this big. Why are we out here chasing AGI? We are blowing past any kind of stops and any kind of safety measures and parameters, but not the parameters you're thinking about, but any kind of safety parameters in the name of being the first to get to AGI. So what, we can replace everybody? Like, this is, what are we doing? I abso-fucking-lutely hope that they get Old Navy. The hopeful and the optimistic side of me is most interested in this, primarily because it does also feel like a way to future-proof myself and my ability to use AI. Like, on the flip side, if AI was to go away altogether, that's also fine. If social media went away altogether, it's fine. Like, we are at a point where, like, we should start all over again. Like, pump the brakes, start all over again. That's fine. But that ain't happening, right? It's not going anywhere. I do, with that in mind, I do have concerns about companies like OpenAI having so much fucking control over everything. And it is comforting to me to think that an Old Navy is a possibility. Okay, last thing before I wrap it up, how I use ChatGPT this week. Each episode, I include a section where I briefly discuss how I use ChatGPT that week. This week, I use ChatGPT to help me with this episode. I really enjoy using ChatGPT to deepen my understanding of things, especially by asking it questions and engaging in discussion with it. So I listened to that Scott Galloway episode earlier in the week, and I knew immediately, I was like, I want to use this as the foundation for this week's, or for this episode. But I wanted to make sure that I really understood it well. I can't just like read things or parrot things. I'm like, I gotta understand this shit. So I went to YouTube and I copied the transcript for the episode, and then I pasted that into ChatGPT, and I had a discussion with it about the topics that were presented in the episode. From there, I made the outline for the episode, and here we are. Here I am yapping, talking your ear off. So yes, you can paste massive amounts of text into ChatGPT, whole ass transcript. And yes, you can also get transcripts from YouTube videos right there on YouTube. I don't know if that's a function of, I have YouTube Premium, so I don't know if that's a function of that, but either way, it's right on the sidebar there. So I just copied that, and here we are. All right, gonna wrap it up there. This was a super, super fun episode to put together, and hopefully you found it helpful. If you did, consider sharing it on social media and tagging me in your stories at The Movement Maestro. You can also tag the podcast at ChatGPT Curious Podcast. That's a long one though, so you can just go with that, at The Movement Maestro, whatever you want. But if you ain't about that social media life, that's fine. Totally fine. Maybe just consider leaving a rating. Or don't. You're adults. I am grateful for whatever you give me, and you've given me your energy and your attention, and you spent all this time, almost looking at the clock here, 30 minutes listening to me. Don't forget, I also have that companion newsletter, The Curious Companion. It drops every Thursday. That is basically the podcast episode in text format. So if you prefer to read or you just want a written record, join the newsletter, fam. you can head to chatgptcurious.com/newsletter or check out the link in the show notes. As always, endlessly, endlessly, one more time, endlessly appreciative for every single one of you. Until we chat again next Thursday, stay curious.